MNF is accepting volunteer applications to be part of our on-air team.
And welcome. This is Latinx.
Welcome to the Soul Kitchen. It is I, your resident chef, Big Eddie G.
Join your favorite voices on 88.5 FM, WMNF.org, and our HD channels. If you've always dreamed of being on the radio,
I would love to be on the radio.
Now's your chance.
Join your listening-supported radio station, WMNF.
Apply under the programming tab at WMNF.org.
Hello, my faithful listeners, and welcome to Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Today, his topic of discussion will be stress and breath work. And a shout out goes to Clark, who's handling the calls and making sure that your questions get through. You are invited to participate in this discussion, or if you have any medical questions, by calling 813-239-9663. Or sending an email to dj@wmnf.org. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. Well, good morning, Dr. Fred. Today you want to talk about breath work. Coincidentally enough, several weeks ago, the co-host for Sustainable Living, Tanya Vidovic, was mentioning box breathing, a technique that she was trained in as a Tampa firefighter, but also a technique that she employs in stressful situations. Is this sort of under your umbrella of the topic?
That's exactly the kind of thing we're talking about today.
Cool.
Yes. I believe that box breath is probably what I know as square breathing. And it's a great way to distract your mind from stressful situations and to get into a more peaceful place. I thought I would start just with another COVID update. I have found more information about Novavax. Apparently, their delay has got to do with manufacturing. It turns out that a federally mandated factory in Texas, which Novavax was ordered to utilize as part of the manufacturing process to obtain the money from the federal government in warp speed, apparently, the Fujifilm factory could not meet federal standards after they were ordered to be the factory. Apparently, the quality of production there is not sufficient to produce the shots. So that's why they've had to delay and retool everything, apparently. So it's hard to tell when they will be applying, but that will be another thing to keep watching. So, unfortunately, that's not yet available. And that, of course, adds to our stress of wondering what's going on in this crazy world that keeps changing around us. And breathwork is a way to actually get to a better sense of control, personal control. You know, when we're living in a world where everything seems out of our control, controlling the breath is really one of the most simple things that we can do to put a sense of control back into our lives. The Buddha gave us 80,000 different ways to end suffering for humans. And one of those ways is to watch your breath. Many new studies are being done on this. Many, many studies. In fact, the work by Mr. James Nestor, his book Breath, has so many references to articles where we are showing that breath work changes lives. It's just so very important. The problem is many people breathe poorly. We have an epidemic of nasal congestion. Nasal breathing is really the key to controlling a lot of these stressful symptoms because mouth breathing is not efficient and not effective and actually changes the way we absorb oxygen, the way we retain oxygen. And actually, there's evidence that the mouth breathing changes the way memory and learning occur. And that's really a bad thing because I've read studies that show that possibly up to 50% of our population is mouth breathing. So they're having difficulty with memory and learning just from that. And yeah, I think we need to really pay attention to what's going on. Over time, we polluted our breathable air, you know, that first mile of air that circulates around the planet. It's full of particulates. And we're seeing all over the world that particulates are increasing risk of disease and death. And the particulates carry toxins that damage us as well. And so we're having a real problem with this poor breathing epidemic. And sleep apnea has also become epidemic because when you have poor nasal conditions, you actually opt for mouth breathing, and mouth breathing leads to nocturnal sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is apnea. The word means stopping breathing. So during sleep, you stop breathing. You lose oxygen. It's almost like you're asphyxiating or suffocating. This is really bad for the body. And dental loss, people who have lost teeth actually increase the risk of sleep apnea because you change the way your mouth is shaped, and thus you increase that risk of blocking the airway at night. Half of all insomnia is probably due to dental loss. But nasal breathing really is the most beneficial. And for thousands of years, we've known this. The Ayurvedic breath is through the nose, yogic breathing through the nose. And I think anybody who breathes at night through their mouth would know, because they wake up with a mouth that feels like the Sahara Desert. If you do that, you ought to get checked for sleep apnea because it's really damaging. So some things you can do, actually, to help clean up this nasal congestion problem so that you can do appropriate breathing. One thing is you focus not on your nostrils, not on your nose, but on the space. If you can visualize the space above your soft palate, move your tongue to the top of your mouth, move it backwards, and feel the difference between the front and the back. The back, that soft area, that's below what's called your nasopharynx, which is the air cavity behind your nose where the air gets warmed up before it goes down into your lungs. You want to focus on bringing the air into that area, not through your nostrils, but into that back of the nose area. And if you're struggling with getting air through, try to exhale through your nose, maybe even blow your nose. Another technique is just to pinch your nose shut and hold your breath. Shake your head left to right and keep your mind off holding your breath if you're struggling, and then try to breathe through your nose. Once you have the intense sensation that you have to breathe, then you should take the slow, controlled breath through your nose. It'll work 50% of the time, 60% of the time. If it doesn't work, do it again. Keep repeating it, and you will eventually get air moving through your nose. It changes the circulation through the nasal mucosa. So if you... Well, I talked about oxygen earlier. Higher oxygen levels lead to changes in the way your brain's working. If you breathe more slowly, breathe less rather than more, you actually have a better oxygen absorption and better maintenance of your carbon dioxide, which is a buffer for the pH of your blood. It helps to manage things. So slower, more regular breaths. Actually, one study showed that a 5.5 second in, 5.5 second out breath is the most efficient breath. It will give you about 6 breaths per minute. And that is really about the place you want to be for the most effective use of oxygen and carbon dioxide. And that 5.5 in and 5.5 out is symmetrical. Symmetrical breathing produces maximum benefit. One of the key things there is that when you breathe symmetrically and breathe calmly and slowly, you improve heart rate variability coherence. Heart math, I've talked about it before. Look up heart math online. There's so much research about improving heart rate coherence. And this has been known for thousands of years also, because this symmetric breathing is very similar to the Buddhist and Gregorian chant. These religious people knew that controlling your breath, controlling your heart rate, controls your perception of reality, and it makes it a much better place. Slowing your exhalation is a really important thing. The square breath actually does help you do that. It's also very symmetric, that box breath. You breathe in, you hold, you breathe out, and you hold. That's the box. So you take it's a very symmetric breath too, because the square is symmetric. So to make the legs of the breath in the square symmetric, breathe in to a count of, say, 4. Hold your breath for a count of 4. Let your breath out for a count of 4, and hold your breath for a count of 4. Each time you complete a square, you've done a round of this breathing. You can take your prayer beads and flip a bead every time you do a square. And that can give you another way of distracting your busy brain from a stressful situation. Because if you're doing something with your hand and you're counting your breath and you're modifying your breath and controlling it, your mind doesn't have a lot of time to think about the stressful situation. You just happen to try to exit. What slow exhalation can do for you is improve your parasympathetic response. And that's the key here, because the parasympathetic response is your relaxation response. When you're having high sympathetic tone, that means high adrenaline. That's the fight or flight response. That makes you run. That makes you reduce your oxygen. It speeds your breath. It makes things work more for getting away from a problem. But if you can't get away from the problem because it's the stress of your daily work, then you don't want to be in sympathetic tone all day. You want to do relaxation so you can get out of that high adrenaline and into acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that actually is the parasympathetic response neurotransmitter. It's a really good thing. The parasympathetic response is responsible for some really good things in the body. Digestion is one of them. Your parasympathetic response is your peristalsis of your gut. So you have poor digestion when your sympathetic tone is high. Nobody wants to eat when they're trying to run away from the lion or in the middle of a fight. It's exactly the opposite. It shuts down your desire to eat. Parasympathetic response increases it. That's why in the blue zones, we have wine at 5, basically a relaxation time to download the day, get out of the sympathetic tone, and make yourself ready to consume and enjoy and digest food appropriately. It is the parasympathetic response that is responsible for erection. So sexual activity is much more happy when you're in the parasympathetic zone than in the sympathetic zone. In fact, it's high adrenaline that is the problem for erectile dysfunction. And so we really want to use our breath and our relaxation to get more out of life, more pleasure out of life. Organs respond to exercise stress by growing capacity. So other organs can do that too. Muscles grow when you perform resistance training. So the diaphragm is a muscle. You want to train it. There's really good evidence for using inspiratory resistance. Look that up. Inspiratory resistance or inspiration resistance training. It is actually a longevity training because it strengthens your diaphragm, and it is belly breathing using the diaphragm that is the best form of breathing. When you use your shoulders and chest wall to breathe, you're stressing yourself out. Your diaphragm is a great muscle that most people don't use. You know the diaphragm is engaged when you hear an opera singer doing that vibrato during a note. They're using the diaphragm with exquisite control to sustain the exhalation in a note of exquisite sound for a prolonged period. You got to really work the diaphragm to do that. Additionally, when you work and train, you expand your lungs. So you get better air movement as well. I said before that the Buddha is the guy that told us to watch our breath for satisfaction and happiness. Anxiety and shallow breathing are shown in numerous articles to show that one can cause the other. Anxiety causes you to breathe shallow. Shallow breathing can induce anxiety because it changes your physiology. I don't know if you've all seen the statue of the happy Buddha with his hands outstretched overhead with a huge smile and his big belly sticking out. He's belly breathing. He's quite happy. We all ought to emulate that and relax our bellies and take those deep breaths because deep breathing is more efficient. Think about it. Running is tiring and walking is refreshing. Those small breaths you take when you're running aren't as refreshing as the long, relaxed ones you take when taking a walk. And one other person I'd like to mention before I finish this up is Wim Hof. Wim Hof is a Dutch guy who has a really unique breathing exercise, Wim Hof breathing. He also believes in cold therapy, cryotherapy. Because both are shown to actually help with your parasympathetic response, with longevity, with relaxation. So look up Wim Hof. He has a really interesting breathing method, which I do periodically. It's really relaxing. You do get a little lightheaded, but you don't move after you're done with your breathing. You sit and work on relaxation because it's a great place to put yourself into a meditation attitude because the Wim Hof breathing changes your physiology to put you in a state that's really conducive to a great meditative experience. So move into a parasympathetic world because we all need to relax. There's a lot of stress going on right now, and I think that breath work is one of the ways we can get out of this really rather irritating situation. Well, Bill, do we have anybody on the line?
Well, we've got Robert as the lone tree on the prairie, so I'd like to remind everybody that you're listening to Health and Nutrition with Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, and you're invited to join in on the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or send an email to dj@wmnf.org. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. And Robert from Mulberry has got a ivermectin question.
Okay.
Hey there, Robert.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Fred. I love your show. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And I'm going to try to improve my breathing immediately. However, my question is this. I've been reading in the newspaper about a controversial drug that people are purchasing to either protect themselves for corona or even treat themselves if they have corona. It's called ivermectin. I don't know if you have any knowledge of that drug or any opinion. I'll just hang up and listen to your response. Again, thank you for the wonderful show every week. I enjoy it immensely. Good. Thank you, Dr. Fred. Bye.
Thanks for that encouragement. Bye-bye. And I'll try to give you the best answer I can here. I think that there is a lot of controversy around this, and it's making a lot of people upset. Ivermectin, yes, I do know about it. I've done a lot of research, and that is reading research that other people have done. And I found that there is a lot of evidence to support the use of ivermectin in this illness. In fact, it's really interesting. As far back as 2005, there's an article from the magazine Nature, which is a very strong science peer-reviewed journal, well-respected across the planet, that showed that ivermectin was active against the family beta coronavirus from which SARS-CoV-2 comes. And it is highly effective at inhibiting viral replication in the laboratory, in human cells, in culture. So that's an in vitro experiment. It's outside the human body. However, one of the most impressive ones that I've seen is from Brazil, when a hospital administrator doctor actually took 800 of his healthcare employees and divided them into two groups of 400 and did a randomized controlled trial using a placebo in 400 and ivermectin once a week in 400. And it showed that the group that had the placebo pill, the sugar pill, out of the 400 people, within a month, 200 of them, half of them, had tested positive for COVID. In the 400 that took ivermectin for the month, zero actually tested positive for COVID. So it appears that we have a large 800-person clinical randomized controlled trial, which is the gold standard for science, that is showing that ivermectin works to prevent coronavirus infection in these healthcare workers. And then there are other clinical studies, and there are many of them on the FLCCC website. You can click the links to many, many references. There are dozens of references, and some of them are actually including treatment for mild coronavirus, such that people are not getting severely ill and not going to the hospital and not dying. Significant reduction in symptoms when treated, and also an absence of infection when prevented using ivermectin. So frankly, I would look at the FLCCC website and get some scientific information about this, because there's actually a list of actually prescribing doctors on the FLCCC website so that you can see if there's anybody in your area that could help you with it. I think it's very important that we have options, because even with the inoculations, the new vaccines are reducing severity and death, but there's still people getting sick, so we can still treat them. There's no reason to not treat them.
Okay, I've got Peter here and Robin in waiting, so let's go with Peter.
Great. Hello, Peter.
Hi there, Dr. Harvey. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. Hey, I just wanted to say I was meditating this morning. I used to meditate every day, and for some reason I let it slip and haven't been doing that for like a year. Anyway, so I decided this morning, hey, today's the day, let's start. And as soon as I finished, I turned on WMNF, and what are you talking about? Meditation. So I just thought that was very interesting. And then the other, I had a question about this Dr. Hoff, or who was that that you talked about that were breathing?
Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F.
Is that one name or
it's two names. His first name is Wim, last name is Hoff.
Okay, fantastic. I'll have to look that up. I used to run a lot, marathons and stuff, and I blew out my Achilles from, from antibiotics.
One of those fluoroquinolone, very bad for your Achilles.
Oh, my God, and nobody told me about it, and I ended up blowing out my Achilles. I haven't run now in like 2 years.
Just as an aside, look up orthosilicic acid, BioSil, B-I-O-S-I-L. It is a tendon builder. There's also a thing called Synovix, S-Y-N-O-V-X, tendon ligament. It helps to reorganize and regrow tendons. So somebody who's been on quinolone therapy and had tendon problems, you need both of these to help rebuild your collagen.
Wow, really? BioSil and...
BioSil, it's called Synovix tendon ligament.
Synovix tendon ligament.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get that in the health store or where would I?
Yeah, generally, yes. And look at it online. See if you can find some of those. And there's you can get them at most health food stores, though.
Man, I tell you, doctor, I wish I heard that 2 years ago.
Yes.
You're the best. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, all that you do. And keep up the great work. We love you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All righty. Robin in Seminole has got some comments about breath work. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Doctor. Hi, Doctor Fred. Great show. I'm a breath work facilitator for 20 years, and
fantastic.
And I was trained by Judith Kravitz with Transformational Breath Foundation, and the last caller was talking about meditation, and if people are having trouble meditating. The breath work is like that belly breathing is the best way to drop into a meditation, bang, no problem.
Yes.
So what you do is you lay on your back and you put a bag of rice or some kind of weight on your belly and you try to lift that thing up to the ceiling and let it fall and lift it up and let it fall and do a couple hundred of those. And, you know, breath work is the best thing for trauma. And a lot of people have trauma these days. It seems trauma is all over the place. Even when you're born, you have birth traumas, and all these traumas affect your breath and take your breath away, and you're suddenly breathing up in your chest, and your doctor says, you've got this, you've got that, you've got this, you've got that. But all you need to do is open up your breathing, because when we were little toddlers running around but being happy, running around in circles, we were breathing out of our bellies. And
yeah.
I really appreciate you bringing a little light into this breath work, because if you have somebody, a partner, a friend, can sit with you while you do the breath work and you're laying on your back, it's nice to have somebody in the room with you to secure the space and bring love into the room. And affirmations are a beautiful thing, like, I choose love in my life, I choose health in my life, and it's safe to breathe and feel joy. And so the affirmations and doing that breath work, put a bag on your belly, put your cat on your belly, put your lover's hand on your belly, and fill that belly up. And thank you so much, Doc. Really love it.
Thank you. Great, great optimistic of affirmation. Thank you.
All right. Peace out. Bye-bye.
And you. Bye-bye.
Oh.
Hey, Bill,
yes.
I have a notice that one of my journalist friends has mentioned that I need to mention that neither the CDC nor the World Health Organization have approved ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19, but in this country, we are able to use any FDA-approved medication for off-label uses, and that's what we do. EDTA chelation is one of those things. When I do EDTA chelation for cardiovascular disease, EDTA is not actually indicated as a drug for that, but it's indicated as a treatment otherwise. And so Robert Rogers in 1988 won a lawsuit against the Florida Board of Medicine because they were telling him he was not allowed to do chelation therapy, but a federal judge or a jury, I'm not sure how that trial came out, ended up saying that medications have been used off-label for many years for many things, and you cannot restrict Ms. Dr. Rogers from using EDTA for doing chelation therapy.
All
do
right.
We have a caller?
Yes, I've got Anthony from Clearwater here on the line for us.
Hello.
Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry I came in on this conversation late, so I'm not sure if you covered this. A friend of mine is a runner, uses this little plastic device that he blows through about 10 times, and he says it strengthens his diaphragm. It's something that he bought online. Are you familiar with that? And does it do anything?
Yes, actually, I mentioned something like that, but when you're saying he blew through it, that's not the exercise that we really need to work on. It's actually inhaling through it. It's a resistance inspirometer, a resistance inspiration training device, not resistance exhalation. If you strengthen your diaphragm when you're breathing in, it becomes much more powerful. And
yes.
So, yes, there are several devices out there. I purchased one for about $29, may go up to as much as $159. And even I saw one for $350 that has all kinds of digital stuff on it. But honestly, the studies show that if you do 10 breaths like three times a day, you get benefits.
Yes. Yes, I see. I might get that. I might have that wrong. I'll check with him. It may be the inhaling.
Yes.
So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I thank you very much for the call and for doing this show.
Glad to help you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, have a great day.
You too.
All right, let's go to Dave in St. Pete with a question about sleep apnea.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dr. Harvey. Good morning. Good talking to you. My sleep apnea, I can date it back to when I was about 13 years old. I remember having my first outbreak. I woke up not being able to breathe. Ran into mom's room, and she just said, calm down. As soon as I did, I was able to breathe again. Now, I've never been overweight or obese, and throughout the ages, before I was diagnosed with it, I remember just always feeling the need to have to take a nap during the day, and sometimes I would wake up, and it was though I had never gone to sleep. I've been using a CPAP now for about 5 years, and I'll tell you, it works great. I get good night's sleep. I've gotten used to sleeping with it, but I just don't like the fact that I need electricity to have a good night's sleep. Wondering if you're aware of any therapies or procedures to get away from the need of a CPAP machine so that I can sleep properly without any type of mechanical needs.
Yeah, I can hear your distress there, considering that, if we got hurricanes and the power goes out, what are you going to do? I think there's several things. One, there's a brilliant ear, nose, and throat doctor named Dr. Malampati, spelled M as in Mary, A-L-L-A-M as in Mary, P-A-T-I. And he described a different anatomy for the throat. There's he categorized it in 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 is wide open, 4 is quite closed. When I examine somebody who has a Malampati 4 throat, I cannot see an opening at the back. The tongue occludes the entire opening. These people are set up for bad problems with sleep apnea. They are the group, the Malampati 4 group, actually responds to surgery on the soft palate to open that hole up. Another thing that can work, if you don't have quite as severe as that, is a dental splint that holds your mouth shut so you don't mouth breathe at night. Both of those are possibilities. And if you're having a desire to change, I would explore those things with a dentist or an ENT doctor. Because you can have surgery from the ears, nose, and throat doctor, you can get a dental splint from the dentist.
Okay. I'll look into those therapies and see if that can give me some relief. I appreciate the information. Thanks a lot, Doctor.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, I've got Beth from Largo who wants to pick your brain about calcium and magnesium.
Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, and I'll join those who say thank you and also those who think deep breathing, I do yoga and have for years, is so helpful, especially for anxiety.
Absolutely.
But my question today is about taking calcium with or without magnesium. I need it for my bones, and I've taken it for a couple years, and yet the blood tests still show it's low. I take it, well, I think it's 1,000 calcium and 500 for magnesium, which I was told helped to absorb it. And then I read something that it doesn't help, which is...
So what was the thing that you were told was low? Your bone density or your blood calcium?
My bone density.
Oh, okay. So that's a really interesting question, because bone density isn't necessarily related to calcium. It's related to your protein. And so the protein matrix of the bone is the place where the calcium is attached. If you don't have enough protein in the bone, you can't attach the calcium, so your bones are not dense. So there's a test called N-telopeptide, T-E-L-O-P-E-P-T-I-D-E, or N-T-X for abbreviation. That can tell you if you're losing collagen in your urine. A P-I-N-T, or procollagen peptide, that tells you if you're actually making collagen to fill back in the space. Those two tests guide my choices on what to do with people to help them grow good bone. Two things really are important. Getting a half gram of protein for every pound of body weight per day in your diet, and exercising resistance exercises every day.
Okay.
So those things should help, but I would go and get those other two tests evaluated to see why it is your bone density is not going up.
Okay.
Vitamin D is also important.
Yeah, I take vitamin D. In fact, I take more vitamin D. If I don't take it, my bones literally hurt. But one test was PIMC, is that correct?
P-I-N as in Nancy, T, and the other one is N-T-X. N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, X.
N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, and an X?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I will have those tests done. Thank you.
Very welcome. Robin says on email today, great topic. She does breath work every day. She's noticed the majority of people, it's bad posture due to excess computer use. And I totally agree with that. Yoga, Tai Chi, things that do shoulder opening and chest opening exercises are really important to get very good breathing. In fact, the New York Times has an excellent article on breathing. And let me see the actual name of it. Breathe Better with These 9 Exercises. I think it's worth Googling that. In New York Times, Breathe Better with These 9 Exercises. Highly useful. Who's on the phone, Bill?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked. We've got Clay from Land O'Lakes. We haven't had him in a while. Hey there, Clay.
Yeah. Hey, Clay.
Morning. Good morning. What's up?
We're talking with you.
I'm just wondering about Brazilians. Can you talk about for ivermectin? You know what the dosage and frequency was?
So ivermectin, I would refer you to the FLCCC website, because FLCCC has the entire protocol down there, and you can see the dosing. But for prevention, it's 0.2 milligrams per kilogram once a week. For treatment, it's 0.4 milligrams daily for 5 days. But there's a lot more information on that website, and I would direct everybody to FLCCC to see what they have to say about it.
Unfortunately, I'm on the far side of the digital divide. I don't have internet access or a smartphone.
Oh, no. But you've got two doses there.
So one other question about sleep apnea. I'm not sure it'll help with sleep apnea, but I wear a breathe right strip at night when I go to bed.
Okay.
You're familiar with those things?
Oh, breathe right strips help a lot of people with snoring. They don't fix sleep apnea, though.
No, I didn't say they would, but they help keep your nose open.
Sure, they do. Yeah, they're a great way to keep breathing through your nose. It really does help a lot of people.
Yeah, I wake up every morning and do breathing exercises when I wake up.
Fantastic.
Don't stay that way.
Very good.
All right, well, thanks for all your hard work, and do a great job. Peace be upon you.
Thank you, Clay. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, I'll give you a chance to look at some emails. I do have Mark here, but I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, and you're invited to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or sending an email to dj@wmnf.org, and you can test us at 813-433-0885. You ready for Mark there, Doc?
Let me just answer one here. Vaccinated Venice says, can I stack this season's flu shot with the shingles vaccine? And I see no contraindication to doing that. I find that most people don't have reactions to either one of those. If you wanted to space them out, that would be fine. But you do have to space out the new shingles vaccine, from what I understand, is a two-part shot. Anyway, so, yes, stack them if you desire. Let's talk to Mark.
Hey there, Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm currently taking Epclusa for hepatitis C.
Yeah.
And I guess I was co-infected with the B virus at some point, but it's not currently active. There's a low chance, I guess, that it can reactivate the B while you're taking that medicine. That's my question.
Yeah, I understand. There is some issue with working with B and C, but I understand what I've read, and I haven't treated double or triple virus infected people myself. So what I understand is that there is a problem with the medication. The two treatments interact, but not necessarily there would be a reactivation of B from taking this medicine.
That's not very common, though, right?
No, I think that the interaction of hepatitis B drugs and hepatitis C drugs is not uncommon. But I've not read that Epclusa would activate hepatitis B. I think it's because it interacts poorly with the medication that treats hepatitis B.
And if the B isn't currently active, can I still infect people with it? If,
yeah,
like, the viral load's around, like, let's say, under 10?
Oh, if it's undetectable, you probably can't.
Okay.
Same thing with HIV. If you have an undetectable viral load, it's like 99% you can't infect. So
okay. That's
why we want to get everybody on treatment.
So I pretty much can't infect someone with it, you said?
From what I understand, but I think I would be talking with my infectious disease specialist,
yeah,
to be certain.
Okay, cool.
Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, take care.
Have a good day. Bye.
You want Mickey from Ellington?
Let's talk to Mickey.
Yeah, Mickey.
Hello, how are you?
Hey there.
I do a lot of swimming, and
yeah,
a long-distance crawl, you know? And I try to mimic whales and dolphins. They only come up for air for just a moment, and then they're down for a long time. And I've come to the conclusion that for swimming, to keep my oxygen level up, I try to swim that way, is that it's more important that I exhale everything. Exhaling is more important than inhaling. Inhaling takes care of itself, but it's the slow, not fast swimmer. So what do you think of that theory, that exhaling is more important than inhaling? You know, for swimming is a kinetic meditation. You're moving and you get into a deep zone for a long haul. What do you think of that, Doc?
Well, when I was taking my swimming course at Penn State, that was one of the first things I was taught. You got to exhale. You can't exhale above the water. You got to exhale while you're swimming and then take that quick breath and then go back to slow exhalation. You're totally right for swimming. That is exactly the way to do it. I agree with you.
So when I'm here on terra firma and I exhale, if I think about it, I take that conscious effort to try to exhale and then exhale a little more and try to get it all out and then just relax and inhale. I love it. It's kind of like swimming up on land.
Yes, actually, Wim Hof breathing has part of that as its exercise. So yes, it's really good. It's very satisfying to do that. And even to exhale completely and hold your breath for a while and then let it back in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, very cool. Thanks. Nice talking
to you.
You're
welcome. You too.
All right, I'm going to give out the phone number one more time and then listen to a couple of emails for you to read to us. Phone number to continue in this conversation is 813-239-9663. And you've been successful sending emails, so keep them coming at dj@wmnf.org. And you can also text us at 813-433-0885. Keep them coming.
Excellent. Here we have one on allergies from Dawn. I've been sneezing, runny nose, and occasional cough for a couple of months. I have to take quercetin and stinging nettle supplements every day. Should I get tested for allergies? Actually, that's a possibility. You could also actually start using a neti pot and clean out the nose at the end of the day, every day, and follow that with a nice homeopathic stabilizing nasal spray like Reboost or Clear Life. Clear Life for sore noses for the sneezing. And you could also try some Flonase if you want to. It's pretty benign unless you're on a lot of other medications. It doesn't have a lot of interaction. I know it interacts poorly with certain antiviral medications. Yeah, you could get tested for allergies, though, and allergy desensitization can be of use. So there's a bunch of possibilities for you. Alan asks about broccoli seed extract for health maintenance. He says that Johns Hopkins did some research in this area. That's brilliant, yes. Paul Talalay, T-A-L-A-L-A-Y, brilliant researcher, discovered sulforaphane glucosinolate, which is the active chemical that's in the broccoli seeds and in all brassica vegetables, all the arugula, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts, they all have it. But these broccoli seeds have the most, broccoli sprouts have the most amount of sulforaphane glucosinolate. And this is an amazing substance that helps clean up your liver, helps to eliminate cancer cells, is very anti-cancer, is very proactive for your brain, for hormone metabolism. It's really amazing stuff. One of the best research that Paul Talalay did was he took some rats, they were mice, very susceptible to cancer, and he painted the back of one mouse completely with the sulforaphane glucosinolate solution, half of a back on another mouse, and then another mouse he didn't paint. And then he painted them all with a very highly toxic thing called TCA, I believe, and it caused cancer. But only in the ones that didn't have the sulforaphane. The sulforaphane rats had zero cancer, and the one that was most striking is that half the back was cancer and half the back had no cancer. Great stuff to use. I have another one here from George Ann. She says, can you please explain what this medication is approved to treat, the difference between horse and human dosage for early COVID infections? She's asking about ivermectin. There has been an increase of reports in self-medicating poisoning in large doses. Yeah, the horse stuff is made for horses. And think about it. They weigh 1,500 pounds, 2,000 pounds. We weigh 150 to 200 pounds. So also, large farm animals have different guts than we do, and they put stuff in there that works on their guts but not on ours and causes us to be sick. So compounding pharmacists can help you actually access ivermectin if that's something you want. And it's actually been approved as a antiparasitic medication. But it has never been approved as an antiviral medication. However, there's data that it is actually effective in vitro antiviral and in vivo, which means in humans, in clinical case studies and in clinical trials, that it actually suppresses coronavirus. So there's a huge dose difference. There's also additives in the horse stuff. So don't buy horse stuff. Call a compounding pharmacist and a doctor that's willing to work with you.
Sage advice there. And I've got Ann from Tampa with a comment about types of yoga breathing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Hello, Ann.
I just had a question. I had gotten in, I took yoga, and then we had a pranayama yoga teacher come. And this was when you breathe in, like you'll take a long breath in and a long breath out, and then you'll pant for a while. And that like, kind of belly panting type thing. And then you hold your breath, and I got kind of dizzy. It was like, and they thought it was a spiritual experience.
Well, actually, it's a physiologic experience, and you should expect dizziness when you do that kind of breathing. And it's nothing that's anything worrisome, especially if you're sitting down. The worst thing that can happen is that you'd actually pass out because you've hyperventilated, and then you'll wake back up. So don't do this stuff standing. Do it lying down or seated. But the dizziness is expected, and the dizziness is your body blowing off carbon dioxide and getting more oxygen and having the blood vessels respond to that. And it's very actually cleansing for your body, and it does feel spiritual as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I said. Y'all are just hyperventilating. You're not being spiritual. But I was just kind of laughing about it. But I just thought it might be kind of dangerous to be doing that.
Not
so you
most
don't think
people.
It's dangerous?
No, no. It's been used for 5,000 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was almost like tripping on LSD or something.
It does feel good. Yeah,
an altered state of mind.
Yes. That's the whole thing about the breath work. You get into an altered state of mind. It gives you a better, clear picture of what's going on around you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was looking like, because I was on my beach towel, and I was looking like the colors were kind of coming out, like it was like a dolphin thing, and the dolphin was kind of coming up a little bit. You know, the gray was
nice.
Coming up, and the colors were going down. And
your brain was working.
Yeah. Okay.
Wonderful. Keep doing that pranayama breathing. It's really good for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it's gone quiet here, so we're down to a little under 10 minutes anyway. We'll wait on some people to call, but if you can read us a couple more emails, please.
I will do that, yes. Dr. Harvey, do you think that gummies they sell now for daily vitamins, probiotics, and calcium are a decent choice? Are they effective? I don't think I'd actually wrap my probiotic up into some gummy goo. We got our probiotics in fermented foods, so if you're concerned about that, I'd just eat fermented foods. But if you want to take a capsule of a good probiotic, that's good too. I have seen some vitamins that are of high quality wrapped up in the gummies. And for people that don't like to take capsules, want to chew it up, it's fine. But you have to look for a really good quality one that has chelated minerals and methylated B vitamins, activated B vitamins, and things like that make them much more valuable. Now, let's see. What is the ingredient, perhaps plastic-related, in cheese that gives cheese elastic, stringy properties? Well, actually, you assume that it should be avoided. In many people, it is, because that stringy property is actually cheese protein. It's called casein. Casein is what gives you the stringy, rubbery nature of your melty cheese. But that's the same kind of elastic property that gluten has. Casein and gluten are both really irritating chemicals. And they also want to know what I meant by what the name of that response was. Parasympathetic. That's PARASYMPATHETIC. Parasympathetic. And then from Julie, please tell me your opinion if you feel safe for a person to fly to Columbia from Tampa to attend a wedding in October. This person chooses not to take vaccine, has strong immune system, takes weekly IV for immune boost. Thanks so much. So the weekly IV for the immune boost, I've not seen any information on. Not sure what is being given there. I have no problem with getting good vitamins as a boost, but the oral regimen that's on the FLCCC website that I've also expanded is got a lot of nutritional support there. You take orally daily, like quercetin, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C. I recommend something called Virographis. And then also 0.2 milligrams per kilogram of ivermectin is in the FLCCC recommendations for prevention. And so I would not travel without a shot or some solid prevention protocol. I am flying in 2 weeks. And I plan to be on a prevention protocol.
I like that.
David asked, when I got shingles a while back, I kept getting calls from roofing contractors. I don't have shingles. I don't have a need for that type of shingles. That's pretty good. It's amazing what this artificial intelligence that scans our computers actually finds and does with our information. Very strange.
All right, we're down to about 5 minutes, so let's go to Catherine in Sarasota.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Dr. Harvey. Great call. Thank you. I have a question about NAC. I listened to a phenomenal recording of a doctor talking about using that IV for recovery of all sorts of things, but I don't really have access to it IV. Is there a way I can take that orally?
Absolutely. It's available in most health food stores. N-acetylcysteine, A-C-E-T-Y-L-C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. That is the chemical. It has been used as a medical treatment and as a supplement for many years. I recommend people take a 500 or 600 milligram capsule daily to help with detox. You can take it several times a day to help with breaking up mucus, because it really does help to thin mucus much better than glyphenicin.
Wow. How do you spell that? I-S-O?
N-A-C-Y-T-Y-L-C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. But if
Thank
you ask
you.
Any health food store clerk for NAC or NAC, they're going to find it for you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. How much do you think I should take that would, you know, be equivalent to a... is there anything equivalent to an IV amount?
Well, it's very well absorbed, but I don't know specifically what you would be using it for. But for prevention, one a day is fine just to give your liver some good support for doing detox.
Okay, good. I have a little bit of problem with detox in my liver, and I get overwhelmed with mold. So that's
yes.
what I was interested in, and also cognitive functioning.
Very helpful.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're down to about three more minutes here.
Yeah.
You
I have an email here from Melinda, and she says that she recently read that the Moderna shot has three times as much vaccine per dose as the Pfizer shot. Is that true? I don't know if that's true, but what I've been reading is that the Moderna shot is actually more effective than the Pfizer shot, and it's having longer-lasting immune potential than the Pfizer, which is why they're recommending more shots from Pfizer, but not yet for Moderna. So I think the amount of material in the shot is not really the most relevant question. It's how well is it working in the human body? I have one more here from Harrison, who says, I understand the concept of belly breathing. However, should I exhale through the mouth, and how long should I hold my breath? Well, the exhaling through the mouth is fine, and Wim Hof breathing uses mouth exhalation. You can exhale through your nose as well. And holding the breath, as long as you feel comfortable, start breathing again as soon as you feel like you need to get a breath. Here's one from Peter. What do you recommend to help fight COVID? And so I think that if you do refer to the FLCCC website, it follows my protocol significantly, but I've added Institute for Functional Medicine information to that protocol to increase the doses of the quercetin, the vitamin C, the vitamin D, the zinc. I've added curcumin and also virographis. And on my website, I've also published that information. So there's lots of information out there. FLCCC has a great thing, and that basic prevention protocol is something that's really good. So, Bill, it's been another good show. I hear the music playing, but I don't hear Bill.
I'm sorry there. welcome back. Well, it's been a great show. We've gotten a great deal of information. And before we put this show to bed there, have you got any teasers for our listeners about next week's show?
That's a good question. Actually, I think it's going to be a surprise.
I like that as well. Sort of a pop quiz for everybody.
Yes, I think so.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you again for a great show. And it was, as I said, a big plate of good information. So, and I'd also like to thank Clark for handling the phones today. And from everyone here at WMNF in Tampa, until next week at 11 o'clock, thank you there, Dr. Harvey, and thank you to all of our listeners.
I want to thank you, Bill, for doing a great job, and definitely thank you, listeners, for the great question.
Yeah, we got to hand it to them. All right, you all take care.
Have a great week.
Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of NPR News, followed by Sustainable Living, hosted by Tanya Vidvik and Grace Benke. Today's topic is fermentation with their guest, Sarah Arizola from St. Pete Ferments. I'd like to take this moment to give a special thanks to Clark for handling the phones and making sure that you got heard today. So until next week, thank you for supporting and listening to